And turn to Luke chapter 1, if you would, please. And we're going to read the words of Zechariah there, who was the father of John the Baptist, as we continue in our Christmas series of being crazy about Christmas, excited, enthusiastic, and praising the Lord about this Christmas season. And I want to talk to you about Christmas lights today. And if you look around the building, we've got some lights on the inside and on the outside. I appreciate those who put those up, and a beautiful Christmas tree here with bright white lights as well. And you look around the neighborhoods in the evening, and you see the beautiful Christmas lights everywhere. And I don't think there's anything more appropriate than evergreens that speak of everlasting life and lights that speak of the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, at Christmas season, at the celebration of the Advent, the Incarnation, the coming of the Lord Jesus. The season is appropriate, too, as you celebrate on December 25th, which is the time when the light stops getting shorter and shorter during the day and begins to get brighter and brighter. Aren't you looking forward to that? But we've got a beautiful, bright day here. We can celebrate the light of the world, and that's what we're going to do as we come to the subject of Christmas lights. You know, there's a treatment that they call light therapy for seasonal affective disorder, and what they do particularly in the fall and winter time, and it affects people in those seasons because there's less and less light. They put a little box in front of you and give you some artificial light for like 30 minutes a day. And that artificial light actually has an impact and improves your outlook and gives you an ability to overcome discouragement, depression. During light therapy, you just sit there in front of that light box. The benefits of light therapy have been shown in multiple studies over many years. And it only requires like 15 to 30 minutes. Researchers have looked at using light therapy to treat major depression, and that's according to David Mrazek, who's the chair of the Department of Psychiatry at Mayo Clinic. Light therapy has been shown over 40 years in independent research worldwide to deliver powerful therapeutic benefits to living tissues and organisms. So light is important. I think we all agree with that. It's nice to have a bright, sunny day rather than a cloudy, gloomy day. We call a cloudy day a gloomy day. We call a sunny day a bright day, an encouraging day. It's easier to be happy in that kind of environment. Amen? Amen. And, of course, Jesus has come as the light of the world. And we're going to think about him. The words of Zechariah. Look with me at Luke chapter 1. Let's just look at verse 78. Zechariah said here, "Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." Everybody needs light, and everybody needs the light of the world. Emmanuel, God with us. Let's pray. Our Father, as we think about the coming of the one who is light, the light of the world, we pray that you would apply to our hearts the importance, the preciousness, the blessing of having the one in us who is the light of the world, so that we could then thereby transfer that light to others and have that encouraging light in ourselves, that life and light that only comes through the one who is the true light, our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless as we come to your word today. I pray for grace and help that I might communicate your truth in a way that's impacting, beneficial, and helpful to your people. And we pray that you'd work in us to willing to do of your good pleasure. And we ask it in thanksgiving by the confidence that your Holy Spirit is here and that he'll work. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians 4:18 is a stark commentary upon the natural condition of all humanity. It tells us in Ephesians 4 that we have all of us in our natural state, our understanding darkened being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in us, in them and in us, because of the blindness of the heart. Darkness is a pervasive obstacle to reconciliation with God. The first thing we need to do in order to have the benefit of the light of the world is to admit our lack of spiritual sight. We need to admit that we're hopeless and have our understanding darkened, and that we're alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that was in us. And we need to have that understanding. Some people respond and their ways are changed because they see the light, and others need to feel the heat. But whatever's necessary, thank God if we do come to see and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. We need Him as our personal Savior. The Bible says in our natural state we receive not the things of the Spirit of God. The Bible says we cannot know them because they're spiritually discerned, and we need to have spiritual life imparted to us by receiving Jesus Christ. Matthew 13:15, Jesus said in commenting on the people in rebellion, their heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. We need to come to the place where we say, I'm hopeless, I'm in darkness, I can't see, I'm blinded by my sin, I'm blinded by the devil, I need to trust Jesus Christ and find in Him the ability to see again. They that are whole need not a physician, Jesus said, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, people who think they're okay, but I came to call sinners to repentance. So there's a big obstacle there, that darkness that we have. And then we need to realize that Jesus is the true light of the world. We all know that, don't we? He's the light of the world. Have you ever noticed, if you have plants at your home, that if you set them on a counter or a table next to a window where the sun comes in, that they'll actually lean toward the light? Have you noticed that? You've got to turn them so they'll lean back again. It's like they're hungry for the light. They need the light. And they thrive upon the light. Without light, they can't live. And living things are in constant need of the light of life. All vegetation will wilt and die without light. Light is a life source. Birds in the morning, if you've ever paid attention, will greet the dawn. They'll get all excited about the morning light, and they'll sing their songs of joy. Light and joy are intertwined. John 1:4 says that in Him, Jesus Christ, is life, and the life was the light of men. Spiritual light and joy come by the light of the world, Jesus Christ. John 8:12 says, then spake Jesus again and said, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. In John 12, he says, I am come a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. Remember, he took James and Peter and John up onto the mountain, and he just removed a little bit of the veil that covered his glory, so that they saw him transfigured up there on that mountain. And his face did shine, the Bible says, as the sun. And his raiment, his clothes, was as the light. You see, Jesus is the light. Revelation 21 and verse 23 talks about heaven. It says, the city there has no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Thank God for Jesus. The Bible says that in these last days God has spoken unto us in His Son, whom He's appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who is the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, who upholds all things by the word of His power. And when He had by Himself purged our sins, He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. 1 Timothy 6:16 says that He only has immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. You remember when Moses asked to see God? He said, "Let me see your face." And the Lord said, "No man can see me and live." But there is a place over here in the cleft of the rock. And if you'll hide in that cleft of the rock, I'll pass by and you can see my back parts. I think that cleft rock pictures Jesus. And the only way you can see God is to come to Jesus. The only way you can be in the presence of the Lord is to be there through the mediator. There's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. I like that song we sang, that Christmas song. They're so theologically beneficial, those Christmas carols. "Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. Pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel. Hark the herald, angels sing, glory to the newborn king. Hail the heaven-born prince of peace, hail the son of righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king." Since Jesus is the true light, we can have him overcome the darkness for us. And in order to do that, we also need to reject the substitutes that the devil puts in his place. Reject the substitutes. 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, "Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's of no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Vance Havner wrote, "We're not here to learn how to live in the dark. We're here to walk in the light. We aren't here to get along with evil, but to overcome evil with good." Paul said, "If our gospel be hid, it is hidden to those who are lost, and whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the glorious light of the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God commanded the light to shine out of darkness, and he shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." We need to beware, because people can spoil us through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. There are religious people out there who give you false doctrine and devalue Christ. There are philosophical people out there who would tempt you with their apparent wisdom and fancy words and philosophies. But I'll tell you, we're complete in Christ. There's nothing we need to add to him. We just need to come near to him and trust in him, because he is the true light of the world. Light and darkness are to be separated. God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, the Bible says. Paul said, "Though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." We need to stick to the true light and not follow angels who teach us something different, like the Mormon church and other cults. We need to follow the true and living God. And the way to do that is through this book. Amen? This is the book of God. This is the word of God. And we need to trust in him and follow him according to his word. Reject all religious and philosophical substitutes for the true light, and receive the light, and that'll correct universal spiritual blindness. Turn with me, I think it's in your notes though, on the back of your bulletin, to Acts 26:18. Is it on the back of your notes? Acts 26:18. Paul said, our preaching was to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith that is in me. I read about a woman who was doing her last minute Christmas shopping in a crowded mall, and she was tired. She was fighting the crowds, sick of standing in lines, tired of fighting her way down the long aisles looking for a gift that was sold out before she got there. Her arms were all full of bulky packages, and when the elevator door opened, she pushed her way in. The occupants of the elevator grudgingly tightened ranks to allow small enough space for her to get in, big enough space for her to get in. And as the doors closed, she blurted out, "Whoever's responsible for this whole Christmas thing ought to be arrested and strung up and shot." A few other people nodded their head, you know, in agreement, and then somewhere in the back of the elevator came a single voice that said, "Don't worry, they already crucified him." There's some truth in that, isn't there? Would you turn with me to Luke 23? Jesus overcame the darkness for you. That's what we need to remember. Jesus overcame the darkness for you. Look at Luke 23. As Jesus went to the cross, the Bible says in verse 44, it was about the sixth hour. That would be 12 noon in our time. They reckoned time from 6 a.m., so that would be six more hours. That would be 12 noon. He hung on the cross for 3 hours and said three different phrases. And then at 12 noon, notice what happened as he was hanging on the cross in verse 44. It was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. From 12 noon until 3 o'clock in the afternoon, there was darkness. This wasn't a regular eclipse. This was a miraculous darkness. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus... After that had happened, when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And having thus said, he gave up the ghost. And now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, "Certainly this was a righteous man." And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. Several commentaries discuss this passage of Scripture, and one of that stuck out to me was Albert Barnes. Barnes commented, and I quote, "The Sun of Righteousness was withdrawing his beams for a time, and the Redeemer of men was expiring. A thick darkness shutting out the light of the day and clothing every object with the gloom of midnight was the appropriate drapery with which the world should be clad when the Son of God expired. This darkness was noticed by one at least of the pagan writers, Phlegon, a Roman astronomer, speaking of the 14th year of the reign of Tiberius, which is supposed to be that in which our Savior died, says, quote, that the greatest eclipse of the sun was ever known happened then, for the day was so turned into night that the stars appeared. Jesus was crucified at 9 o'clock in the morning, and from 9 until noon he hung in the light, but at noon a miraculous darkness covered the land. This was a heaven-sent darkness. It lasted for 3 hours. It was as though all creation was sympathizing with the Creator. There were 3 days of darkness in Egypt prior to the Passover, and there were 3 hours of darkness when the Son of God was crucified and bearing our sins in his own body on the tree. The Lamb of God died for the sins of the world. Jesus had spoken at least 3 times before the darkness fell, but when the darkness came, he was silent for 3 hours. During the time of darkness, him who knew no sin had become sin for us, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And the Holy Father turned away from his Son. And after the darkness was past, the other Gospels tell us that Jesus cried out and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Him who knew no sin became a curse for us, because it is written, cursed is he which hangeth on a tree. He bore your sins in his own body on that tree. He died for you. The darkness was typical of the fact that the light of the world was extinguished temporarily for you, so that your sins could be forgiven, so that they could be removed as far as the east is from the west, and so that God would remember them no more. He overcame the darkness for you. Thank God for a Savior like that. Amen? Thank God for Jesus. And we need to keep coming to the light. We need to keep coming, not just once when we get saved, but we need to have that starting point. But after that, we still need to keep coming and receiving what God has for us from the light. Notice in John chapter 3 and verse 19. John chapter 3 and verse 19, Jesus spoke these words. He said, "This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every man that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that does truth comes to the light, and his deeds may be made, that his deeds may be made manifest or obvious, that they are wrought in God." You see, bright light enables you to see clearly. Did you ever walk in a field where there was some rocky areas, and as you walk along, you see a flat rock, maybe about that big, and you reach down and you pick up that flat rock and turn it over, and what happens underneath? You see a bunch of nasty-looking centipedes and other kinds of insects scurry because they want to be in the darkness. They want to be away from the light. Our sinful hearts tend to have the same reaction. If we're not careful, we'll flee from the light. We'll flee from the exposure that the light brings. But we need to come to the light. Amen? Amen. We need to come to the light so that there can be exposure, so that there can be confession, so that we can keep ourselves clean, so that we can walk in the joy and presence and power and peace and holiness of Almighty God. Jesus is the Word of God incarnate, isn't He? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. John 1:14 says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." He's the true light. He's the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God written. Jesus is the Word of God incarnate. Psalm 138 verse 2 says, "Thou hast magnified Thy Word above all Thy name." This is God's Word. The Quran isn't God's Word. The Book of Mormon isn't God's Word. The Jehovah's Witness Bible, the New World Translation, isn't God's Word. But this is God's Word. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. That's what the word means. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God might be perfect, complete, throughly furnished unto all good works. This book is all you need to have the light of God in your life, to have a full life, a successful life, a satisfied life. Acts 17:11 says of the Bereans that they were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they searched the Scriptures daily to see whether the things that they'd been taught were indeed true. And they found out that they were. Psalm 119 verse 30 tells us that the entrance of God's Word gives light. Let me say that again. Psalmist David, a man after God's own heart, said, "The entrance of Thy words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." He said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my" what? "Feet, and a light unto my path." All you need to walk successfully and follow God is the Word of God. The physicist Albert Einstein in 1917 discovered some of the theoretical understanding of what they later used in 1960 to discover how to make a laser. I've been playing with my laser. Can you see it? We're dog sitting our son Jared's dog. And you should see what he does when I do this. He goes crazy. I almost had a laughing fit. I was laughing as much as Lori Brown was yesterday at our seniors' Christmas party, because the dog was going crazy as I shined the laser light all over the place. But a laser is when they've learned how to take light and put it in almost parallel relationships and generate it in such a way that it stays parallel and it doesn't spread like it normally does. But they first discovered and used lasers with no application. They were called, and this is what they called them at first, a solution looking for a problem. When they invented lasers, it's a solution looking for a problem, because they had no understanding of how they could be used. But the first thing they began to do with lasers is they made those scanners in supermarkets. Did you ever see a scanner in a supermarket? That was the first application that they had for lasers. Then they were able to use them for digital audio equipment, you know, and for DVD players and laser discs and all that in 1978. And then they came up with laser printers in 1982. And today the laser is used in communication and industry and medicine. Brother John Rossini and myself both had laser surgery in our eyes. I think Joe's had laser surgery in his eyes. My pastor friend up in Pittsfield had laser surgery in his brain because he had brain cancer there, and they were able to treat that with lasers. Pretty neat stuff. They use them in consumer electronics, information technology, science, industry, law enforcement, entertainment, and the military. They're even talking about space-based X-ray lasers pumped by a nuclear explosion to be anti-missile weapons. Pretty neat stuff. We enjoy laser light shows, and people receive cosmetic skin treatments and acne treatments and cellulite treatments and hair removal, and all that stuff has to do with lasers. The scriptures are pure light in perfect form with practical usefulness designed by God. Amen? Practical usefulness designed by God. This book isn't just academic. This book just isn't religious. This is the book of God. This is the Word of God. And we need to study it to show ourselves approved unto God as workmen that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. It'll give you understanding and wisdom and capacity to do things that you otherwise would not be able to do or understand. 1 John 1:5 says, "This is the message which we've heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So we need to have the favor of God by coming to the Scriptures. It'll give us faith, correction, instruction, peace, comfort, direction, wisdom, all that we need. Psalm 119, turn over there with me, the 119th Psalm. Would you go back with me to Psalm 119, verse 97? You need to fall in love with God's Word again. You want to have light, and light has to do with brightness. It has to do with optimism. It has to do with faith. It creates faith. Light does. The Word of God does. Psalm 119:97. You need to pray, "God, give me the attitude of David. Help me to be like David, the man after Your own heart." Psalm 119:97. Look at it with me. "Oh, how love I Thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou through Thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for Thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep Thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Look at verse 130 again. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. So we ought to be crazy about light. The light of Christmas, the light of Advent, the light of the Incarnation. Proverbs 4:18 tells us that the path of the just is as a shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. The perfect day will be when you see Jesus and you'll be like Him because you'll see Him as He is. The path of the just is as a shining light. Is it that way with you? That shines more and more unto the perfect day. Are you growing brighter by light therapy in the Word of God? You should be. And if you're not, get back in the book. Repent of your dirty, rotten sin of neglecting the book. Amen? Get in the Word of God. Study it and devour it. Be like Jeremiah who said, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart." Husbands, love your wives and show them the Word of God. Moms and dads, live in the book and show your children what it's like to be a genuine Christian, to follow the true light. Amen? And this Christmas season, exalt the one who is the brightness of the image of God, who is the glory of God incarnate, who is the bright and shining star, the Son of Righteousness, the day star that will arise in our hearts as we put our faith and trust in Him through the Word of God. It's so precious. Amen? And it brings us close to Jesus. Let me ask you again before we're finished today. Have you opened your heart to the light of the world? If you allow Him to come in, He'll dispel the darkness and He'll give you the light of life. Have you come to see how precious He is? If Jesus Christ is not precious to you above everything else, then you haven't come to meet Him. Because when you come to meet Him, you realize that the Lord is precious. Unto you, therefore, which believe, He is precious. Have you come out of the darkness of religion and earthly sensual wisdom into His marvelous light? If you haven't, make this the day of your salvation. Make this the time. Would you bow your heads with me before the Lord? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me ask you to just think for a moment about what we've looked at. Jesus Christ is the light of life. The tendency we have because our deeds are evil is to scurry from the light. But I urge you today, do something different. Turn to the light. And let Him expose your heart and your deep need. And let Him come in, cleanse you through His precious blood, and give you His light and life. Receive Jesus Christ. You say, "Well, I don't know how to do that." Well, just call upon the Lord. The Bible says that if you'll call upon the Lord, you shall be saved. If you come as a helpless sinner and just say, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I need you, Lord Jesus. Please come into my heart and save my soul." Christian, would you pray that others who have not received Christ would receive Him now? Would you ask God to work in your heart as well and draw you nearer to Him, give you a fresh hunger for the Word of God? Father, we pray right now that You'd work in hearts, and we're not going to do anything to manipulate or to trick people into making any kind of a decision because we know it won't last. But we do want to see You work in hearts, and we know that without Your help and without Your powerful change, we'll go from this place the same way we came, but we want to see ourselves transformed by the image of Jesus Christ and His shining forth in our hearts. I pray for that one here who's